Blog Talk Radio.
Ready, Rob?
What up, America?
Don't adjust your dial.
Dr. Dre, drop them beats.
Here we go. Uh-oh.
Your time is up. Time is up now. You can't see.
Now, woo! Today you are officially talking sports with the 12th man. It is Wednesday, October the 15th. We are flying right by. We're sweeping teams just like the Royals. That's what we're doing. I am Marjorie Peterson, of course, officially co-host number one, Talk Sports 12th man, joined by my other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, Rob?
Doing fantastic. What's happening with you?
Hey, man, I'm just coming back from Tennessee, man, doing some scouting for the Titans, man. Looks like Jake Locker may be playing. But, you know, just kind of par for the course. What about you, sir? What are you doing, sir?
Man, doing fantastic, man. Making it do what it do.
All right. As always, you guys know how we love to set the stage, as always. So if you want to call into the show, I would be obliged to give you the numbers to go ahead and to reach out to us. First and foremost, if you guys want to call in the show, I'm going to do so. It's 424-243-9519. Once again, that's 424-243-9519. We're also in the social media world, of course. That's where we got to be. If you want to follow us via Twitter, the number to do so, or our handle is actually the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then once again, that's 12, THMAN Sports. That's our Twitter handle. And then finally, if you want to follow us, on Facebook, the reason why you can find us, you can go to facebook.com/12manSports, or if you put Talking Sports with the 12 Man, there I will be, nice shot of me, and then maybe one of Rob too as well. But anyway, that's what we're doing. But Rob, are you ready to go ahead and get the show started, sir?
Ready to make it do what it do.
I love it. Let's go ahead and get started, man. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about, man. The NFL is just flying right by. Now we got the NBA preseason right around the corner, some games here, but let's kind of kick it off, Rob, as we always do, kind of a recap of this past week's NFL games, and I don't know if there's anything you want to highlight. I'm going to throw it to you, and maybe I'll add some little two cents to what you got to say, Rob.
Well, obviously, you know, looking back at this past weekend in the NFL, much as you hate the Dallas Cowboys, you got to get them props, and that's probably the highlight of this past weekend with them going on the road, winning in Seattle. And I'm going to say they pretty dominated ball game, even though they only won by 7 points. They controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And I like to say they went up there and they whipped Seattle. So you got to give them props with that win. Also, the 49ers, I'm going to highlight what they did as well, falling behind 14-0 to the Rams on Monday night, and actually coming back and winning the game 31-17 pretty emphatically. And another, the Philadelphia Eagles have to highlight what they did as well, whipping the Giants on Sunday Night Football 27-0. Have to be impressed with what they did as well this past weekend. So those are just a few teams I would like to highlight, you know, based on what happened this past week in the NFL.
Seemed like a lot of whipping going on, Rob. What you think about that?
A lot of whipping and spanking.
I concur. I just want to talk real briefly, Rob. I like how you hit that. It seemed like Seattle, you know, maybe they were kind of lulled into a false sense of thinking that no one could beat them at home. But, man, you got to give as much as I know we like to hate on the Cowboys, they actually came in and they handled business. I mean, you talk about able to have a first 100-yard rusher in Seattle. You know, Tony Romo kept everything composed, even though they gave up a couple of turnovers to the Seahawks. But this is definitely, I think this is a huge statement game for the Cowboys, Rob.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this was putting the Cowboys on the map kind of game in front of a national audience. And the Cowboys, they came out, played well. They dominated the line of scrimmage. you have to give them all the props in the world. DeMarco Murray, phenomenal year. That offensive line is probably the best in the game. And Teron Smith is coming on as been the best left tackle in the game. I tell you, when he gets his hands on you, you can't get around him.
Almost like a Mount Rushmore there, man. It's just a huge mountain of a man. Brings back memories of Walter Jones, a lot of those great left tackles. But I know we like to pick on Jerry Jones, but, you know, wow. You know, he has definitely rebuilt that line. And, you know, like I said, as much as we like to give props to where props is due, and like you said, we're not Cowboys fans, but that was an impressive game because I'm sure no one picked the Cowboys to actually go in it and win, minus the Jerry Jones possibly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, you got to go back and what they did with rebuilding that offensive line is that after having one of the worst lines in the league a few years ago, they didn't make the sexy picks. They made the right picks. To rebuild that offensive line. And I tell you what, man, Romo's got all day to throw the football. He's not throwing the INTs that he has done in the past. And that offensive line is a big reason why. And you look at how well he dominated the line of scrimmage in the running game. DeMarco Murray, is running through holes. I tell you, that's as big as a 6-7 lane highway right now. You and I can run through him. And that offensive line doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah, it's about as much as I can say in talking about the Cowboys, but let's keep it moving here, Rob. And I know you mentioned another game that I definitely want to highlight. You want to talk about definitely the Eagles just handing it to the Giants. Sometimes the Giants seem like a little Jekyll and Hyde, Rob, but the Eagles, you know, I know we're going to ask about their chances as far as in their division too, but just another pretty interesting game. Nick Foles was able to do some great things, and I know LeSean McCoy hasn't, he's been kind of up and down, but this was a good game for him to kind of prove he still got it, Rob.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, looking at that ball game, you got to give the Eagles defense a lot of props. So they just totally shut down the Giants offensively.
Oh, yeah.
The Giants offense the past 3 to 4 weeks has actually been pretty good up until Sunday night, and the Eagles just completely shut them down. And this is the Eagles defense that last year was horrible. And now the defense is stepping up big in big-time moments and even a big-time win on Sunday night.
A couple of games, Rob, that may not have been on your radar, but I definitely want to talk about just a couple of surprises. One of the surprises was actually the Browns upsetting the Steelers. I did not see this coming, but 31-10. Man, we'll talk about the Hoyer and Manziel, if that even is a contest now. But that was a pretty surprising game from my vantage point. I don't know if you'll comment on that, but that kind of caught me. Not something that I was going to expect, especially if you're in the Suicide Leagues too as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The Browns are actually playing pretty good football. They're playing well defensively. Brian Hoyer is playing outstanding. And Jordan Cameron in the passing game, getting him healthy again. This is also a team with solid offensive line, getting Ben Tate back. Joe Thomas also, if you mentioned, in one of the top left tackle positions in the game as well. This is a pretty good football team. And quietly, the AFC North is a very competitive division.
There's one more game that probably wasn't on the radar, but I just wanted to say this because even though it was a win by the Chargers, and everyone, the Chargers getting a lot of props, but I was totally surprised by the Raiders putting up 28 points, and Derek Carr looks like he's probably this is a great pick, man. So I know it's kind of a weird game, but I was actually impressed with the way that the Raiders stayed in there. You know, they can put up some points, but Chargers pulled out, but it's just a very interesting game, Rob. I just wanted to kind of comment. That was kind of interesting from my perspective.
Well, yeah, obviously the Raiders have made a coaching change here in the middle of the season, coming off a bye week, and that was a pretty competitive performance by the Raiders. Yes, Derek Carr definitely playing well. Obviously, the Raiders still have a long way to go, and the Chargers and Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is definitely a candidate for MVP. Right now, I have to say it's either Phillip Rivers or DeMarco Murray based on the season thus far.
Got it. Yeah, like I said, that's just one of those I just want to throw out there. It's not a huge highlight, but just very interesting. in that instance. But, you know, obviously we're going to move on to the next topic, and we talk about injuries are definitely part of the game. But as always, some teams have seemed to be hit hard. There's some pretty interesting and unfortunately challenging injuries. And I guess what team do you think was hit hardest by the injury bug, Rob, in week six?
Well, two teams I'm going to highlight here. One is the New England Patriots. Obviously, losing Jared Mayo and Steven Ridley is a blow to them on both sides of the football. Jared Mayo, starting linebacker, I don't think they have anybody that can replace him. They do have a little depth at running back where they may can absorb the Steven Ridley injury a little bit. But obviously, they're still their probably most productive back. So these are two players is really a big blow. And obviously the New York Giants, too, losing their best wide receiver, Victor Cruz, big-time playmaker. That's a big blow to that Giants offense. They're going to have to rely on Odell Beckham Jr., a rookie, along with Reuben Randle, come up big at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, Rob, I want to say I think that's, you know, not blaming that totally on the Giants' loss. I know that that kind of had them shell-shocked, too. So they look like they were a little out of sorts. Odell Beckham, yeah, from your neck of the woods, Rob, from LSU, he's got some big shoes to fill. Not quite sure if he's 100% right. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world, man. He had an impressive debut versus the Falcons, but it's going to be tough for him moving forward. But, yeah, Victor Cruz is out for the season. You know, Giants seem like they're playing that heckle jive role once again, Rob.
Absolutely.
All right, let's keep moving here. We just talked about it pretty much. I know we kind of touched on it briefly about the Seahawks. And I guess the word on the street is, have the Seahawks lost their Super Bowl edge? And the first part of the season, Rob, I would have probably told you no. But it seems like they are kind of slipping here a little bit. You know, I don't know if it's kind of not that they're complacent, but, you know, you maybe get to a point where you don't have that desire. You're not as hungry because you already made it. Do you think they kind of lost that, especially after coming in and seeing Dallas come in and just kind of like handle them at home, Rob?
Absolutely. I do think they have lost some of that edge. I think defensively, I think really both sides of the football, I don't think they're as good. So are they still a good team? Yes. Do I think they still make the playoffs? Yes. Do I think they're a Super Bowl team? No. But let's be real here. It's very hard for teams to repeat, and teams are gunning for them. And so I don't think it's something that Seattle fans should hold the Seahawks, you know, to be totally upset with. This is a very hard deal here for teams to repeat this day and age in the NFL.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, I kind of mentioned it earlier, Rob, I kind of felt like, you know, they lost a lot of pieces. You know, a lot of their secondary kind of went to different areas, and that's just the product of success. You're not going to keep everyone. They kept majority of the D-line together. You know, they are going to have to overcome a lot. And like you said, there are a lot of teams gunning for you. So do you still have that desire? They've got the components. You know, they still have, you know, Russell Wilson and a lot of the key pieces. They added some moves. You know, Percy Harvin obviously is going to be playing more this year. But you hope that they're going to be just as hungry enough to make that next move and kind of hold off a lot of those challengers, because they got a huge target on their back, especially at home, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you know, this team last year didn't lose a game at home, so already they've lost one. And obviously the Cowboys are a good football team. So, I mean, that's the first area you look at and see this team has lost a little bit of the edge, because, like I said, last year they didn't lose a game at home at all.
Gotcha. Let's talk about it. Speaking of the Cowboys, the NFC East has a lot of nice contenders, Rob. And, you know, 5-1, the Cowboys doing thing, as well as the Eagles. And I'm looking forward to this matchup, Rob. So who do you think wins the NFC East?
Well, I think right now, if you look at the grand scheme of things here, I think the Cowboys are the better team.
Okay.
They're playing with a more physicality. They're controlling the line of scrimmage. I think when these two teams eventually play head-to-head, they can keep that Eagles offense off the field. They're controlling the clock, controlling the football. The offensive line is dominant. I think they're the better team at the moment.
Wow, so you don't think that the Eagles are going to kind of play an up-tempo style and kind of keep them off balance? You know, because the Eagle defense played really well. Was that just kind of a they just kind of caught the Giants at the right time, or do you think that it's more or less like the defense is actually getting better, Rob?
Well, I think it's just a style of play that the Cowboys will be able to keep the Eagles off the field. They'll be able to control that line of scrimmage, keep that up-tempo offense of the Eagles off the field, and I think that's just what will happen when these two teams meet.
Gotcha. All right, we're kind of halfway through the show here. We've got 14 minutes. We always want to throw out numbers just in case, America. 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. So we talked about a couple of injuries, and, you know, we'll be remiss. I know, unfortunately, you lost Jarius Byrd earlier. But it looks like Jimmy Graham also will not play for the Saints this Sunday. We were kind of talking in the pregame, Rob, that I thought it wasn't going to impact the Saints as much because the Saints have a dynamic offense, but you kind of beg different. You think it's going to definitely affect the Saints moving forward, Rob?
Well, obviously, this is a big loss for the Saints offense. I think if you follow the Saints at the moment, you know, this is a team that doesn't have the wide receivers that they've had in the years past. Colson has slowed down a little bit, not the same type of receiver. And so you don't have Brandon Cooks, of course, is a rookie who's still slowly coming into his own, but not quite there yet as being an elite receiver. So this really could be a big blow for the Saints offense. It'll be interesting to see what kind of game plan Sean Payton has to make up for the loss of Jimmy Graham, because obviously, you know, Jimmy Graham is double covered a lot, and now defenses are going to play the Saints a lot differently here the next few weeks without Graham. There's really nobody on the Saints team that you have to double cover now. So it's going to be interesting because, like I said, they don't have the deep threat weapons that they've had in years past.
Yeah, I love how we talk about this too because, you know, I'm sure both of us, our teams were not NFC South is just taking a nosedive. It feels like, I mean, I'm sure pretty much expectations we didn't expect to but, you know, injuries always seem to have a play a part in that. But I'm sure we'll see how it plays out. I know, Rob, you had some good points. I know, you know, we anticipate the Saints to be up there. And now we'll see if we can who's going to take the division, because right now it certainly seems to be up for grabs for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, Carolina's in first place. And I would have to say that they have picked up their play a little bit here in the last few weeks, even going on the road, getting the tie at Cincinnati.
Yes.
I didn't even expect that. I think Carolina offensively has picked up their play, and but defensively they're not as good as they were last year, Carolina. So I would say right now they're still the best team in the division, but there's still a lot of football to be played.
Good call. Let's talk about some answers here, and I know we're going to ask what happened to the Bengals defense, but right now, coming over that huge win against the Steelers, the Browns, interesting question, and some people thought, Rob, that Manziel would be starting already, but he quite hasn't made that start, and Hoyer has been playing really, really well, so... right now, long-term, do you think Hoyer is the answer, or do you eventually are they going to turn the reins over to Mr. Johnny Football?
Well, I tell you what, this is a tough question. I came up with the question, but I'm having a tough time answering this deal. Obviously, Hoyer, is playing phenomenal, and the Browns is playing really well. And obviously, the Browns made the right decision to go with Hoyer for now. I still wonder if Manziel is going to be a good NFL quarterback, and we'll just have to wait and see. I'm going to say that Hoyer is the answer for the Browns, and
okay,
that eventually they're going to have to get rid of Manziel.
Wow, really? Okay, okay. Okay. I'm sitting back. I mean, you know, some people may not be a huge fan of Johnny Football, but, you know, Hoyer's been playing well to keep the job. But we'll see if he's a long-term answer if the front office folds, man, because they sold a lot of jerseys, Rob, for Manziel. He's actually second, believe it or not, behind Russell Wilson. But that's a pretty surprising statement there, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just think right now, you know, this could be one of those decisions where the Chargers had to make when they had Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers. Although Brees was playing phenomenally well, the Chargers decided to go with the young QB. But in this case, I don't think Hoyer, I don't know if Manziel will be the type of player that even Phillip Rivers has developed into for them to make that decision. I think, you know, you got to go with Hoyer.
Good call. All right, so we talked about, you mentioned them earlier, Cincinnati Bengals, Rob, they had a pretty tough defense. They ran into a pretty motivated Carolina Panther team, and they the Panthers scored 37 points. So the question we're going to ask is, what happened to that vaunted Bengals defense, Rob?
Yeah, and even a week before, New England just torched that defense. So obviously the first 3-4 weeks in the season, we were all praising the Bengals as being one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league. They're not getting the pass rush. They're not stopping the run. They're struggling a little bit defensively. And so it's just going to be real interesting to see how they respond going forward. I'm just going to say they ran into a couple of, you know, offensive teams the past 2 weeks that just had a hot hand. But I think long-term, this Bengals defense still went pretty good at this season.
Chalking up to the teams with a hot hand, I like it, Rob. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. Let's talk about, you know, some NFL predictions here. We just literally talked about Cincinnati. They're going to be traveling to Indianapolis. And the way that Andrew Luck's been playing, Rob, I think this is going to be tough. I think Indy's going to pull this one out, Rob.
I like Indianapolis here. We just talked about the Bengals running against a hot team. They run into another one. And the Colts offensively is phenomenal right now. I mean, right now they're definitely probably one of the hotter offenses in the league right now with Andrew Luck running the show. I like the Colts to get their fifth win in a row.
Speaking of, you know, teams that are hot, we know that Aaron Rodgers said earlier, relax, R-E-L. AX. Now you got the Carolina Panthers going to Green Bay. I'm going to give an edge to Green Bay because it's in Green Bay. I still think that, you know, for Cam to try to match Aaron Rodgers, not saying he can't do it, but I just think Aaron Rodgers has a few more opportunities to make some bigger plays versus the that Panther D that gave up a lot of points to Cincinnati.
Yeah, I like Green Bay here as well. I like him by about 7 to 10 points here. I like them at home.
Gotcha. Good call. Let's talk about, finally, this is going to be another great game, Rob. You got the 49ers at the Denver Broncos. Great game. Maybe a preview to the NFC Championship. I don't know, but what are your thoughts about this particular game? Or not, I'm sorry. This could be a preview as well, too. But good matchup, to say the least, Rob.
I tell you what, the 49ers defense playing really well up late. Now, of course, we know about the Denver Broncos offense. So that's going to be really intriguing to watch. I just think Peyton Manning is going to win this game. I don't know if Kaepernick can compete in a shootout with Peyton Manning. I like the Broncos here. I like them by about 10 to 14 points.
Wow, good call, man. That's pretty big. Let's do some fantasy shout-outs, Rob, before we've got about 5 minutes left in the show. So I know we want to talk about fantasy, and then we'll get into some college football and some NBA. But go ahead, sir. In the Major League stuff, so Major League Baseball. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead and set this up here. What are your thoughts about
fantasy shout-outs? Yeah, of course. We have an exciting time in our fantasy football leagues, all three of them. And just a quick, you know, promotion here. We do have a fantasy basketball draft coming up, I believe, on next Wednesday night. And for those of you all interested in competing, I think we do have 9 of the 12 teams filled. So anybody interested in playing fantasy basketball, we do have a few spots left. for our draft on next Wednesday night. So if you're interested, please send us your email address. We'll send you an invite for you to sign up. Once again, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. You're, like I said, draft next Wednesday night. We'll have three spots left. So send us your email address. And, of course, to our shout-outs to our current fantasy football leagues and our league number one, I want to get a shout-out to Saints Pelicans 23 out of New Orleans. He's in first place in that league. Shout-out to New Glasses with a big victory over SmackDown, 172.40 to 102.74. New Glasses, the biggest win of the week in our league number one, New Glasses, out of Indianapolis. Let's see. That's league number two. I just gave you the information for league number one. I'm going backwards here. League number one, Black and Gold Patrol, is in first place out of the Atlanta area. And the team with the biggest win of the week was Saints Pelicans 23 out of New Orleans, with a victory over my team, NOLA Breakers, 171.28 to 119.96. Man, that's, you don't embarrass the host like that, Saints Pelicans 23. That's cold blooded. In the money league, of course, this is the league where the winner takes home the pot and second place takes home the small pot. Irv's team's in first place. Irvin's team right out of here out of the Atlanta area is in first place. And the biggest winner of the week is NOLA for Life, also right out of here out of the Atlanta area, over the 149.16 to 101.6. So those are our first place and biggest winners of week this past week. Of course, there's a lot of football to be played. Let's keep competing. Let's have fun. Let's do what we need to do.
That's coach speak, America. That's coach speak, a lot of football to play. Nah, it's going to be fun. We'll keep moving here. Rob, we got about 3 minutes, right at 3 minutes here. I know we want to talk about some teams that are going to be in the college football Final Four. Before I do so, I do want to do a quick shout-out about the Major League Baseball playoffs. What a phenomenal game by the Royals. I know we mentioned it earlier last week. They haven't been in the World Series or even close to, you know, playing winning since the Georgia Brett games. But they are back in the World Series representing. What a great game, Rob. And they're just waiting for the winner, obviously, for next series, too. But I don't know if you want to talk about that. And then roll right into the OT portion of the show, Rob.
Well, yeah, you got to congratulate Kansas City Royals. You know, baseball is a type of league, the way it's set up. It's hard for small markets to have success. And so it's hard to root against a team like Kansas City Royals in that market. And so congratulations to them and their fans. And it should be fun watching them. They're playing really good baseball, old school baseball, too, just moving the runners over, you know, bunting, things of that nature. They're playing, they're not using a power bat. Absolutely. They're playing National League Baseball and American League. Congratulations to the Royals.
Yeah, it's really good to see a team that, you know, literally you got somebody to get some base, you know, then they'll bunt him over, he's in second, then sacrifice fly, and then he drives him home. It's just a thing of beauty. I mean, I'm sure that's how you manufacture. Then about 90 seconds, sir, if you want to go ahead and set the OT portion up, and we'll move forward to the OT portion of this show.
Yeah, we only got a couple of minutes left on our live portion. We certainly appreciate everyone for tuning in. It's been fun. We still got a lot to talk about. So our OT portion, unfortunately, we can't bring that to you live. So definitely on tomorrow, click on the same link. Listen to our OT portion. We got some great college football games for preview. We got a little Heisman talk. We got a little NBA as well. So definitely tune into the OT portion. You don't want to miss it. Tune into it on tomorrow. And, of course, next week, we should be back to our regular night. Tuesday night will be 11 Eastern, 10 Central. 8 p.m. Pacific for our friends in Hawaii, Aloha, will be 5 p.m. And for our good friends in Germany, it'll be 5 a.m. Wednesday morning. So you don't want to miss it. We're going to have a lot of fun on next week. Good night, people.
Ha, 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 guten Tag, guten Tag. I love it. No, we want to, once again, just appreciate you listening to the show. Me and Rob, we definitely enjoy hosting. So give us your thoughts. We have a lot of feedback on Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. But, yeah, let's kick it. We're going to continue on talking to some college football, some teams in the Final Four. And also going to talk about not being mad for winning by 1 point. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. Oh, man. All right. We are officially into the OT portion. And this has been interesting. I don't know if we had – I'm sure whenever we first did this, probably had a couple teams that we thought were going to be in the college football Final Four. Wanted to get your thoughts on any change. I mean, I know we had one team that was in there. We had Alabama. I think we had Florida State in there. I don't know if we had Oregon. I can't remember if we had Oregon. I forgot the final team that we had in there. Is that still changing, Rob, or have we made some adjustments as far as that particular prediction?
Well, if you look at right now, if the season had ended today, the four teams in the Final Four will be Mississippi State with the number one seed. They will be playing the number four seed, Baylor, in New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl. And the number two seed will be Florida State going against the number three seed, Ole Miss. They will be playing in the Rose Bowl in California. Those will be the four teams as of right now. I'm going to say one of those Mississippi teams is going to be in the Final Four. And I'm going to say that Florida State stays in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that Baylor finds a way to slip up.
Yep.
And I'm going to say that some kind of way Alabama and Oregon sneaks back into this Final Four. I'm going to say Mississippi State, Florida State, Alabama, and Oregon sneaks back into this Final Four with one loss. And that's who I'm going to predict to be in the Final Four.
I like it. Good call. Good call. Yeah, I really don't have really a lot of disagreements with that, too. I just think Mississippi State, that's a surprising team. They're playing well, Rob, but that's why they play the games, to say the least. But good call. We'll see how it plays out. And, it's going to be interesting to see. I always like to go back and listen to certain episodes, and it's curious to see. I'm going to listen to this, yeah, Mississippi State, really? We had some different calls about that, too. Obviously, you know the Billy's probably going to slip out. But it's going to be good playoff, to say the least, Rob.
Absolutely. It should be fun. This will be the first in college football, major college football. So that's going to be exciting to see how it breaks down. I would eventually like to see it expand to 8 teams, but, you know, this is the start for college football. And so we should be excited about that. And hopefully down the road we'll continue to build on it.
Does Nick Saban have a reason to be upset, Rob? Is he just kind of picking at his supporters here? What do you think about this scenario? And I guess set the stage about what he said, too.
Well, obviously, I think fans sometimes can be unrealistic, you know, myself included. You know, I'm an LSU fan, obviously. And sometimes you just got to look in the mirror and say, hey, this LSU team is young. We've lost 18 underclassmen to the draft the last few years for early entries. And so, you know, you got to look at it and say, hey, you want to see this team grow this year in hopes to make a run next year and the year after. And so sometimes as fans, we're a little bit unrealistic in our expectations here. And, Nick Saban, I don't know if he should be ranting on press conferences, but I think he's right. This SEC West is extremely tough, and then they go on the road and get a win. Whether it be 1 point or 10 points, that's a good road victory. Arkansas's improved ball club. I tell you, Arkansas's offensive line is massive, too. I mean, they might have one of the biggest offensive lines in college football. You know, Brett Bielema's bringing that Big Ten-style football to the SEC, and he's got the offensive line to match it. That's a good quality win for Alabama. And their fans should be happy.
Nice. Good call, Rob. Good call as well. All right, we got to do some college football predictions because I want to hear some predictions. We got a lot of great games. First and foremost, let's kick it off. Number 5, Notre Dame at number 2, Florida State. As much as Jameis Winston is doing stupid stuff, I do have to give them an edge in this particular example because it's at home. We'll see if North Carolina – I think it's going to be a very competitive game, Rob. So what are your thoughts about this particular – I'm sure you're probably going to go opposite for me. What were your thoughts?
I don't think Florida State is as good as they were last year. I have them going to the Final Four strictly because of their schedule and, you know, playing in the ACC. I think they'll still be undefeated, but I don't think they're a national championship team by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think as long as James Winston plays this Saturday, they will beat Notre Dame. I don't think Notre Dame is that good either. And so I like Florida State here, and I like Florida State by 2 touchdowns.
Well, my favorite coach is Bill Snyder, number 14, Kansas State, at number 11, Oklahoma. Your favorite coach, Bob Stoops, Rob. Bob Stoops is surprising me. He's won a couple of big games. This is another big game. Bill Snyder always seems to pull out an upset of a team that you're not expecting. So is this another one of those scenarios, Rob, he's going to pull a surprise over Oklahoma?
I like Oklahoma to win this game. I like Bill Snyder as a coach. And I do agree with you, Bob Stoops has a penchant for losing. He has a penchant. The thing about Bob Stoops is a penchant of losing games that he should win. Sometimes you rise to the occasion and win games you don't expect it to. But I think Oklahoma will win this game. I just think they're more talented.
Nice. And like I said, don't discount Rob Bill Snyder because they always seem to pull out some wins against some teams that they have no business winning against, too. So we'll keep an eye out. I think it's a good game, too. Number 21, Texas A&M at number 7, Alabama. This could be a statement game, or I wonder if Nick is trying to do the old Jedi trick to let everyone. Why are you guys worried about 1 point whenever you clearly have a hugely talented quarterback? Kenny Stiller, what do you think about this particular move, Rob?
I like Alabama big in this. Texas A&M has not been playing well. They've lost two in a row. They've gotten beaten pretty well. Their defense is horrible. And, I like Alabama big here. I can see a 14 to 21 point victory here.
Is Kevin Sumlin in trouble, Rob?
Not by any stretch of the imagination. He's also got a very young team. Their defense is just not yet SEC caliber yet. It's going to take him a minute. But, no, he shouldn't be in trouble. I still think he's one of the more innovative coaches in college football. But right now, I think they're just running into a boss saw right now.
I love it. Let's talk about number 15, Oklahoma State, at number 12, TCU. I want to get through these last two games, Rob.
TCU is explosive offensively. Gary Patterson teams are normally very good defensively. They're just the opposite this year. They can score points with the best of them. I think they win this game in a shootout.
Wow, good call. Finally, number 23, Stanford, at number 17, Arizona State. Go ahead and give me your thoughts on this one, Rob.
I think Stanford goes on the road and pull this one out. I think they've lost some really tough games this year, but I think they win another nail-biter here on the road.
Gotcha. Good call. Like Stanford, I know, even though people like David Shaw too. We've got some movement for the Heisman. There was a huge candidate, Todd Gurley. We're still figuring out what's happening with him. But from your vantage point, Rob, who has kind of that the front runner for the Heisman right now?
It's all about Dak Prescott right now, Mississippi State. He's dominating college football right now, both running and throwing the football. I tell you what, you know, he's a similar kind of player to Tim Tebow, might be even slightly more explosive than Tebow. But he is just dominating the quarterback scene. I mean, dominating college football, carrying Mississippi State on his back for a contention of a national title. And right now, I would rank him as the number one option for the Heisman. Right now, I have Marcus Mariota number two for the Heisman.
Wow, good call, man. I love it. It's been, like I said, we talked about some things that are going to happen. We're not quite sure what's going to happen with my – I'm going to pull up Gurley because that's been the whole talk here in Georgia, Rob. I mean, so we'll keep an eye on how that scenario plays out. I know I said it earlier with Jameis Winston, he's doing some dumb stuff, signing autographs, stuff like that too. But I know we made a comment about should college athletes be paid, and that's still one of those controversial subjects too, but – we'll keep an eye on that Heisman stuff. Good job as well. We got about 6 minutes here. Almost wrapping up here. We talked about certain teams with injuries in the NFL. Now let's talk about injuries in the NBA, Rob. Looks like OKC may be without Kevin Durant for a couple weeks of the season. Is this a good thing for Kevin Durant? Is this a bad thing? And I'm going to shut this off real quick, Rob, because I think this is going to be an opportunity because everyone always talks about Russell Westbrook, if you will. Here's your time, Russell. You've been acting like you want to be the man and not really want to share the ball. I'm not a huge fan of Westbrook sometimes, even though he's talented. But now is your time to shine. I think it's going to be interesting. Westbrook's going to have to get more people involved if he wants to become the next level, if you will. But I think it's going to be tough right now. But here is Russell Westbrook's time to shine if he really wants to be the man. That's it. I'm sorry. My little 5 cents there.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think what's going to have to happen is OKC is going to have Westbrook and Serge Ibaka to step up big and carry this team. Durant's going to miss about 4 to 6 weeks here to start the season. So that's a big blow to OKC. I think if you're OKC, you got to be realistic. Are there 1 or 2 seed in the West without Durant? No way. But can he hang around somewhere between 8 to 10 until Durant comes back? That's got to be your realistic approach if you're Scott Brooks. Let's hope to be somewhere around 8th to 10th place in the Western Conference. The Western Conference is loaded. Well, you got about 11 teams in the West that can legitimately make the playoffs, and there's only 8 spots for those 11 teams. So if you're OKC, you want to hang around somewhere between 8th to 10th, and then when you get Durant back, that's when you make a run to hopefully move toward 5 or 6. They won't be a top 2 team in the Western Conference this year. It'll be too much of a climb with Durant being out. But your hope is to get somewhere around 4 or 5 and make a run when Durant comes back.
Good call, as always, Rob. I definitely agree with you. Like I said, Scott Brooks, he's just sort of fortunate to be playing in the West right about now. There are some talented teams out there. But it seems like they're only getting better. So, you know, just kind of par for the course. Kevin Durant, that's a huge blow to OKC. You know, like we talked about, you know, Scott Brooks is going to have to be creative, it seems like, to keep that team on the right track. You can do it if possible. You know, Chicago's able to pull it out, but, you know, not that I'm trying to compare Chicago 100% to OKC, but it is going to be a labor of love to make sure that they're focused, Rob, for sure.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the nose. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, NBA
a lot of fun
is right
to watch.
Around the corner. Yeah, I got you. It's right around the corner. We'll keep an eye on that. And, Rob, we are officially done. Let's go ahead and set up the next week, and I hope everyone joins us for this particular edition of Talking Sports for the 12th Man.
We squeezed it all in, America. We got every topic in, but definitely join us on next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Aloha, Hawaii time. 5 a.m. Wednesday morning in Germany. You don't want to miss it. Of course, we got another week in the NFL and college football to recap, and we'll preview the following week as well. So you don't want to miss it. We got NBA season starting. We're in the middle of Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll have a lot to discuss on next week, so you don't want to miss it. Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're here to stay, people. Like us on Facebook. Well, follow us on Twitter.
That is what we do. And like I said, Rob, looking forward to the draft. Like we always talk about, we'll do some recaps as far as that next week, as far as all of that. And we got week 7 kicking off in the NFL as well, so tomorrow night. So without further ado, we want to appreciate you guys listening as always. Rob, excellent show tonight, sir. Appreciate sharing the field of battle with you, sir. Have a good evening, sir.
Good night, my brother. Enjoy talking sports with you.
Good night. Good night, people. Good night, America.